So the 19th century in New Orleans literature is a different kind of animal. So tell us what kind of books were coming along then. I think one of your favorites is The Grandissimes by George Washington Cable.
Indeed. It is my favorite. It's my favorite New Orleans book. My dissertation was on a woman writer of this century, so I had to seriously look at a lot of 19th century writers. But that really captures the turn from the French to American rule in the city like no other novel that I've read, fighting about French and refusing to speak French and customs. But the 19th century, and I know we've talked about this before, I find it to be the golden age of literature in New Orleans. But perhaps now, because I know you think that it might become later, but maybe this is the first golden age.
The first. I think there's always a golden age,
right,
Nancy.
Right. So I think this might be the first golden age or one of the earliest golden ages. It started perhaps with Les Senilles, as we talked about, with the poets. But we had Le Grandissime by George Washington Cable and Baron von Reisenstein's Mystery of New Orleans, that crazy book.
That's an odd book. New Orleans produces books like that every now and then.
Well, we have some odd people.
Yes.
We have some odd writers. And if you look in the 20th century, I can think a lot of books that sort of hark back to von Reisenstein's Mysteries of New Orleans.
So tell us a little bit more about that book.
It is a saga of voodoo and malaria and sex and New Orleans, all built into one. And it's not necessarily realistic. Mm-hmm. And so it is hundreds and hundreds of pages long. Yeah. I remember at UNO, one of my colleagues said, "You read the whole thing?" Because it's a really long book. But it's gripping, I think.
It is. I read it when it was reissued.
Yeah.
And I thought, Lord. I know. This took a commitment. And then, of course, The Awakening. The Awakening. How I love that book.
Still.
Still, I
love
that book.
And so do my students still.
Oh.
They still do.
I secretly imagine her swimming. You know that. I imagine her eternally swimming out in the Gulf.
Well, you and and Awakening expert Emily Toth.
Yes.
I, on the other hand, see her dead.
But, I know.
But I like the optimism.
I have
and
optimistic
She is sort of swimming because we return to her all the time.
Yes.
And we read and reread and we know her story and we know how it ends. And so in a way, it doesn't end.
And so much of her story is about a woman walking in the city. And she writes about how much she pities women who don't walk because they see so little of life.
And I think that had a lot to do with her own life.
So those are the highlights of the 19th century, I'd say.
I'd say so, too.
And then you have one more on your list, The Goodness of St. Rock.
And that straddles the 19th into the 20th century. And even the title story in that is so beautiful. And I kind of want to render it to a play version of that story. But again, she addresses racism, colorism, religion versus voodoo, the Creoles versus the Africans and African Americans, and the whole mess that is this city with all the different beliefs and races and superstitions, and also the beauty of the city and the importance of family in this city.
And I seem to remember her journals being published during that period of rebirth when feminism was rescuing all these lost works from the past. And I remember thinking they were quite revelatory.
They were quite revelatory. And she was definitely a Me Too survivor of her time with her very famous husband.
So just incredible. This is the Tricentennial Reading List. We've been talking with Nancy Dixon. The Reading Life Tricentennial Reading List is sponsored by the Hellis Foundation, the John Burton Harder Trust, and the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities. For the ever-growing Tricentennial Reading List and other episodes, check out wwno.org.